My text tonight is found in verse 22. It's the question that Pilate asked of the Jews, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The most important question you will ever give an answer to. There are many important questions asked in the Bible. We go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. And God was walking in the cool of the day, and he calls out, "Adam, where art thou?" And that was a very important question, because it indicated that something was dreadfully wrong. Because we can infer that when God was walking in the cool of the day, that Adam would have accompanied him. But Adam, because of his sin, was hiding from God. And that is always what happens. Sin separates from God. And each one tonight without Christ, you're afar off from God because of your sin, and without God and without hope. And then in Genesis 24 and verse 58, Abraham has sent a servant to find a bride for Isaac. And when the servant came upon Rebekah, he thought that he had found the right woman for Isaac. And when Rebekah was asked by Laban and her mother, "Wilt thou go with this man?" What a vital question. And how important was the answer that Rebekah gave. "I will go. I will go." And from that union of Isaac and Rebekah sprang the nation of Israel, and from which came the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. "Wilt thou go with this man?" We could ask that question tonight. Will you go with Christ tonight? Will you give the answer like Rebekah gave? "I will go." In Matthew 16 and verse 15, Jesus Christ asked his disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter's answer, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God," is the confession of all saints in all generations. And that's what we believe with all of our heart. And unless you believe that, you never can be saved. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then we come to this question in Matthew 27 and verse 22. What an important question that is. Adam, because he hid from God, had committed sin. He needed a Savior. And of course, the great promise was given in Genesis 3 and 15 of the promised Messiah, the Savior, should come into the world. And he has now come. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate's question to the Jews was really a question to himself. "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" That's the most important question you will ask of yourself, or others will ask of you. What shall you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's the question every one of us will give an answer to. There'll be no evading or avoiding that question. A decision concerning what we will do with Jesus will be made. And that decision will be made tonight. We will make a decision concerning Christ. Either we're for him or against him. Either we receive him or reject him. There's no neutrality, no sitting on the fence on this question. And your decision tonight, what you'll do with Jesus Christ, may determine where you'll spend eternity. Now, listening to our sister singing that lovely piece, that last piece, "Oh, what weeping and wailing." My friend, tonight, we're faced with the most important question. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And we say tonight, it's a very important question for three things. First of all, Christ is the greatest person that you will ever meet. He is the Christ of God, the Messiah, the Savior, that should come into the world. Now, many people hate Christ. They can't stand the sound of his name. And many use it only as a swear word, even in the media, where we would expect some respect for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is taken in vain. And yet, in all history, Jesus Christ towers above all his distractors. He is exalted far above all. God has highly exalted him. He is the blessed Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. He's unique. He's the only begotten Son of God. Begotten, not made. One substance of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's unique in his person and his power. There's many things that we could say of Christ tonight. And time would not avail us to describe everything about Christ. Eternity itself will only be adequate to describe the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us say tonight, he's Emmanuel. He's Emmanuel. Being interpreted, God with us. And when he was born of Mary in that stable, born into the world, was the Son of God. I remember one occasion, and Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door, and all with all the arguments and all the rest of it, and we spoke of Christ, and they tried to say he was just a created being. Yes, a highly respected being, a prophet even. But I said, tell me, what does the Bible call him? The Bible says he's Emmanuel, God with us. And he never said another word. He just departed. He is God with us in the flesh. Truly God and yet truly man in one person. The only begotten Son of God, of whom the Father could say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And because he is God, he has claim in your life and mine. And you know, sometimes when you talk to people about the Lord, you want to talk about God. They'll say, well, if that's your thing, that's all right for you, but I don't really get into that. And they try to sidestep the issue. But you can't do it. God is our maker. We're all his creatures. We're not all his children, but we're all his creatures because God has created each one of us. And because he is our maker, then we have to give an account unto the Lord. In his power, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He created the heaven and the earth by the word of his power. And Hebrews 1 and 3 tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And scientists were trying to find out what keeps the stars and the moon in their place and why is everything so synchronized. Very simply, Christ sustains all things by the word of his power. And when the time does come, he will bring that to an end. And sometimes, you know, people talk about global warming and all the rest of it, and man's going to destroy the world. I don't believe that. Because I believe the one that made the world will be the one that will destroy it. He did it the first time with the flood, and he'll do it the second time with fire. But he's all powerful. But more than that, he's mighty to save. And that's what I love about the Lord Jesus. There is no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Jesus only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Hebrews 1 and 3, when he had by himself purged our sins. And by the merit of his death and his shed blood, he has made an atonement for our sins. He's dealt with our sins. For those that come in childlike faith and receive him into their hearts. What does the Bible say? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hence the name Jesus. What a name. High over all. Savior. It's not what the angel told Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what we need tonight. We need salvation. There's many needs perhaps you have tonight. But your greatest need is Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's the Savior you need. Tell me tonight, do you know Him personally? Have you a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you tonight, do you know about Him? I'm sure there's not a person in this meeting tonight that doesn't know about the Lord Jesus. I'm sure many have went to Sunday school, children's meetings, come to church, and you know about Christ. But tell me, do you know Him as in a personal relationship? Have you owned yourself as a sinner? Have you called upon Him to save you? Are you walking in fellowship with Him, the greatest person that you'll ever meet, the Lord Jesus Christ? And then it's the greatest issue we will ever face. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, Pilate was in a terrible position. He really didn't want to handle the situation. He didn't really want anything to do with this. He felt this was a problem for the Jews. But Pilate is forced to face and to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt he knew a great deal about the Lord. As governor, he would know what was going on in his area, in his the part where he was ruling. He would have heard of his good works. He would have heard of his miracles. He would have heard how he had compassion upon the people, how he cared for the widows, how he raised the dead to life and the blind received their sight. And now he is faced with the issue of what he would do with Jesus. Christ is brought before him as a criminal. What does Pilate do as a judge? It's an individual. It's a personal issue. What shall I do? That was for him to answer. It was his decision. It was his position to judge righteously. And in any just court of law, he would have thrown the case out of court and set Christ free. But it was a personal decision. Nobody else could make that decision for him. And friend, tonight it's a personal issue with you. What you do with Jesus Christ. And we're offering tonight someone who loves you. And someone who cares so much for you. That he went to the cross of Calvary. Come into this world of sin and shame. And had nowhere to lay his head. And he went about and doing good. And then he went to the cross as our substitute. And paid the price in his own body on the tree for our sins. And we hear that anguished cry coming from his lips. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the Father cannot look upon sin. And Christ was there as our sin bearer. Why was he forsaken? That you and I might never be forsaken. That we might never be forsaken. Who can understand that? Who can take it in, a father forsaken his child? And how much more was the Father forsaking the Son of God because he was there as our sin bearer? It's a personal issue. And no one can answer the question for you. Nobody can make that decision. What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You need Christ. I don't know how people get on in life without him. Because we need him in life. We need Christ to save us from our sins, the penalty and the guilt and the power. But we need Christ daily to guide us and to direct us, to keep us in the straight and the narrow way, to keep us away from temptation. We need him to keep us away from present temptations and evil enticements in the future. Oh, we couldn't live a moment without the Savior. And we need him, and friend, you need him. Because if we're not receiving Christ, if we don't have that personal relationship with him, then the other relationship that we have is with the devil. And the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you're under the control of the devil. And you do the devil's will. The Lord Jesus Christ, for those that trust in him, he's their Savior. He's their deliverer, their protector, their provider. One of the great verses in the New Testament. As we go through life, Philippians 4:19, it was the verse I was given the night it was saved. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God, there's a personal relationship, shall supply, no uncertainty about it. Supply what? All our needs. Not our greeds, but our needs. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And those storehouses are never emptied. When the people came to Joseph in Egypt for provision, he was the storekeeper and he gave them all that they needed. But you know, sometime that store would run out. But you know, you and I can never empty the storehouse of God. And what a store there is there for answered prayer. What is the store there is for meeting our need? There's many things to perplex us in this life. And people who have families know the difficulties and the dangers of bringing children up in an evil and wicked generation. There were two people in society that never were touched. And was the very young and the very old. And now they're in the forefront of the attacks and the abuse that the world can give them. But I thank God tonight he'll meet my need. And he'll keep us until the waters roll at our feet. And then he'll take us safely over the bar. We need him. We need him. We need him desperately. And this land needs Christ desperately. And this town needs Christ desperately. Not only a provider, but he's our advocate with the Father. Don't we all sin in thought, word, and deed? And we feel it. And we'd fall into despair, only we know that we have one that pleads for us in glory, our advocate, the one who pleads on our behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his prayers are always heard. We need him not only in life, but in death. Oh, we may live without him. Yes, that's a possibility. And many millions have done that. But I tell you, you dare not die without Christ. Death is certain. We will all agree on that. There's no one going to come to me at the end of the meeting and say, "Brother, I don't believe. I don't believe in death. I don't believe." We all believe that, don't we? We know it. We're faced with it day in and day out. The obituary columns are never empty in your newspapers. There's always a recording of someone that has passed away. Who knows when you and I will meet with death? Only the Lord knows. And sometimes, you know, when we're young, we're inclined to think, well, we have a lease in life. That our life is going to stretch out for a long, long time. When I was young, I used to think people of 40 were ancient. Now I think they're only teenagers. And I remember coming home from school at the end of June and the summer holidays. And there's only a few people who understand what I'm going to say. But we got our school bag and we got it and we threw it into the furthest corner in the glory hole. There's only a few people know where that is. And we thought that was that. We're never ever going to go back again. But you know, the months seem so long, but they're so short. And I can look back and sometimes I've said to my wife, you know, sometimes I ask myself, what was I doing in the 70s or 80s? Time goes in so quick. It's like a flash. It's like a vapor, James says. Appeared for a little time and then vanished away. We just got sad news in the past week. A young lad of a family that attended our church in Mount Marion, a family from Nigeria. Lovely family. Very respectful. Very humble people. And the oldest lad, who I suppose was 31, he was working with Nortel and he was sent over to America for a month's training, a course. He had been on the webcam with his brothers that same day. He had just come off it and he went out. And whatever happened, he just dropped down dead. Just as quick as that. A young man. Men and women tonight, we have no lease in life. We know not what a day may bring forth. And I tell you, if this question is not answered in the affirmative, what shall I then do with Jesus? It's a weeping and a wailing and gnashing of teeth. Who knows? Perhaps the tree from which your coffin will be made has already been felled. Who knows? But the coffin you will be placed in is already made. We don't know. We don't know. Many a time, I'm sure Mr. Elliott, Mr. Gray, and any minister that performs funeral services, we stand around the open grave and we're saying ashes to ashes, dust to dust, earth to earth. And you can hear the sound of the earth hitting the coffin. That sound, it's like a death knell, isn't it? And oftentimes we wonder where those that are standing around the grave, if this was their funeral, where would their soul be? Friend, that's the question we have to face tonight. And it all hinges on this. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Lazarus, our sister was singing about, died a pauper and with sores and with nothing in this world. But he died and he opened his eyes in heaven. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? In life and in death, we need Christ. Werner Wright was a professor of rheumatology in Leeds University. And she was asked the question on television, what does Christianity offer which nothing else offers? And listen to her reply, comfort for a dying man. Comfort for a dying man. There's no other religion. There's no other religion can give comfort to a person in their dying hour. Only Christianity. Only for those who are in Christ and of that comfort of knowing that when the moment comes, when they pass from into eternity, that it's well with their soul. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Not concerned whether we die with millions in the bank or with many possessions. Just to know that it's well with her soul. That's the comfort. That's the comfort. It's an inescapable question. You cannot pass on it on to someone else. No one else can decide for you. Nobody can make promises on your behalf. You have to make that decision on your own. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And Pilate sought to put the issue unto others. What shall I then do? What do you think I should do? Friend, we can't do that. We can't put the question on to someone else. It's personal. It's individual. It's what I do with him that will determine where we'll spend eternity. He sought to evade the issue, just as you have been doing up to this point in time. Night after night you've sat in gospel meetings, and the appeal has been made, and you've been invited to Christ, and you've rejected him. Oh, you might not have said so in so many words, but in your very attitude, go night, and you went out without Christ, trying to evade the question. Friend, you won't. And we just want to be very honest tonight. You will answer the question at the close of this meeting. You're not ignorant of who Christ is. Like Pilate, who knew, verse 24, that Christ was brought before him because of envy. And he knew he was a just person. Three times he declared, this man is just. And like Pilate's wife, and she also came, and verse 19 said, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Isn't that very significant, having a dream in the daytime? Well, we all have dreams at night, don't we? And some are good and some are not so good. But who dreams in the daytime? And surely the Lord was speaking to her heart. And she was so impressed by it that she broke into the courtroom. And she said to her husband, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things because of him. And yet, he went against his conscience. His conscience told him, this is a just man. This man is here under false pretenses. He knew that. And then his wife came and told him that she had suffered much. And yet, he had him crucified. Pilate, you have a decision to make. Pilate, you're faced with the greatest decision that you'll ever make. You've had many decisions as a governor, difficult decisions to make, but this is it. This is up there at the very top. What will you do with Jesus? And that moment decided his eternity. And friend, maybe tonight your decision will decide your eternity. What will your answer be? Is it for Christ or against him? Is it to receive and reject him? And then quickly, the greatest choice you ever will make. Pilate offered the mob a choice, Christ or Barabbas. It didn't seem a very difficult choice, was it? Barabbas was a murderer, was a thief, an evil man. Christ, the Son of God, the spotless one, who went about doing good, raising the dead to life, giving a sight to the blind. There's really no difficulty there. And yet they cried, away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us. And they cried for Barabbas. Unbelievable. But it's no more unbelievable than to sit in a gospel meeting and have the same claim put to you and to walk away without Christ. There's no argument against him. And all his desire towards you is love and compassion, and that he would save you from a lost sinner's hell. And the choice is yours tonight. Maybe there's someone with a young man or a young girl, and you're saying to yourself tonight, well, if I choose Christ, I can say goodnight to this relationship. I tell you, friend, far better to say goodnight to the relationship and choose Christ, because your eternal destiny hangs on it. And who knows that young lassie or that young man is going to break it up. Who knows? I remember in Portugal, and we were preaching one night in the gospel, and this young man went home with his father-in-law. On the way home, he said, Robert, turn back. He says, what's wrong? He said, I want to talk to the minister. And Colin came back that night, and he talked with us, and we pointed him to Christ. And about 20 minutes later, I got a phone call to go up to the home. They were at their mother-in-law's home. And when I got in the door here, his wife was standing, and the tears were tripping her. And I said, Diane, what's wrong? Oh, she says, Mr. Hart, you don't know how often I wanted to get saved. But she said, I was concerned about what Colin would think. See, leave it with the Lord. You choose him tonight and leave the consequences to the Lord. He'll never let you down. Now, you can reject Christ tonight. But please keep in mind, it may be for the last time. And you may reject your only hope of eternal life, the only way to heaven. Or you can receive him tonight as your Savior, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love that portion in Luke's Gospel. Remember when Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus in to do for him? And old Simeon was there. And when Simeon had that child in his arms, he said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It's not in the church. It's not in a set of creeds or rules. It's in the person of Christ. And he had been promised that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he held that little baby in his arms. He knew he was looking at God's salvation. My friend, tonight Christ is here. Oh, we can't see him. He's here by his Spirit, but he's here just as much as Mr. Elliott's here tonight. Just as much as Mr. Gray or anyone else is here. He's here tonight. And he's offering you salvation. And you can accept it or reject it. It's your call. It's your decision. Listen to the decision, and I'll close with this. Listen to the decision of those that were there. Verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Did they realize what they were saying? Did they realize the enormity of that saying, His blood, the blood of Christ, be on us and our children? And I tell you, down through the centuries, the Jews are suffering the consequences of that statement. And the Holocaust was but one part of it when 6 million Jews were gassed in the gas chambers. Away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us. Let his blood be on us and our children. We'll take the guilt. And they're still paying for it. Thank God for the remnant that's been gathered in and saved. Friend, don't you trifle with Christ tonight. He wants to save you. And he offers salvation rich and free. And all you have to do is trust him. Repent and believe the gospel. Don't you say tonight, away with him. You say, welcome Jesus. Come into my heart. Come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save me now. Oh, may that be your prayer tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen.